You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We're going
to
talk about the two ends, as far as when's the earliest time that one should light, or perhaps the proper time when one should light. And then on the other side of the coin, what is the latest time that one can light, in the sense of if people are sleeping in the house, do you have to wake them? Do you not have to wake them? An interesting discussion among the poskim in that regard. So let's begin, as you see on the screen, with the source for this whole sugi, of course, is one line in Gemara and Shabbos, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara, talking about something different, which we're not going to be relating to, says the following: Mitzvasa mishatishka hachama ad shatich l'regel min hashuk. So the first question that we have to wonder is, what is the word mishatishka hachama? I was talking to somebody, and they didn't appreciate the fact that we were being so nitpicky about this man. They said, maybe it just means when it's dark, because, you know, if you light a candle, when it's light out, you can't really see it. So they did. Chazal just tried to say when it's dark out. I said, yeah, but Chazal are telling you precisely when to light. They have different words they could say. They could say, and if they chose to say, that means they meant dafka, very specifically, shkia sachama. The problem is, the word shkia sachama is a very ambiguous word. It's not ambiguous in Shas, but it's ambiguous how we understand what the Shas means. I'll give you three possibilities that represent three different opinions among the Rishon, which we're not going to see inside. Well, we'll see sort of one of them inside. Maybe Shkia means what you and I call sunset. You know, what the Maizmanim app records as sunset, which today is about 4:28, which means when the ball of fire, you see the ball of fire go down the horizon, and I have a nice yellow. There's a ball of fire. You see it's yellow? It's coming down. Here's the horizon. Shkia will be determined at, not yet, at this point, when the ball of fire is just becomes invisible, that would be Shkia. That's one opinion. Another opinion is what we call Sof Shkia. Sof Shkia is perhaps called Tseis HaKochavim, what you and I might call Tseis HaKochavim. That's what many Hasidisha poskim follow. And then there's another possibility, which is that it's 13 and a half minutes before Tseis HaKochavim, which is what they call Tchilas Shkia Shnia, which we're not going to go into those manner now, but there are three possibilities of what the word Mishatishka Achama means. So we're already getting into a little bit of a complicated situation. But okay, that's the first time you light, until Ad Shatich L'Regel Min HaShuk. Now, let's jump to the last line of this Gemara. What is Shatich L'Regel Min HaShuk? Ad Kama Amar Rabba Bar Bachan Rabbi Yochanan Ad Dil Kalya Rigla De Talmudai, until the Talmudian woodchoppers are no longer in the market. And Rashi, of course, explains, what are these Talmudian people? You know, every nationality is known. Like in New York, you have a lot of Afghani cab drivers, and you have a lot of Italian construction workers, and you have a lot of, Jewish diamond dealers. You know, different industries had different ethnicities. And therefore, similarly, Regla de Talmuda, Rashi says, Shem Uma. What did this nation do? What was their national profession? Melakta Eitzim Dakim, and they would be the last ones in the marketplace. Umis Akvin Bishuk, Ad Shahochin B'nei Hashuk Lebateya Mishach Hashecha, Mavirim B'bateyam Ur. What happens at night? It's already late at night. Everyone goes home after work. You go home. You light the fire. It's already getting dark. And you realize, I don't have enough firewood. What do? You go back out to the field. You go back out to the marketplace. And you buy them from the wood sellers. So the last people in the shuk are these wood sellers. And when they leave the shuk, that's the end of Tichl Regel Min HaShuk. So right away, I want to ask you a question. Does Pirsuma Nisa apply to Goyim? In other words, if there are absolutely no Jews around, would we say that the fact that there are Gentiles present, does that therefore yes qualify as Pirsuma Nisa? So you tell me, hey, you have right here the parameter, the latest time of lighting candles is Tichl Regel Min HaShuk, which is a function of not of Jewish people walking in the markets, but of the Talmudian people, which are not Jewish people. So therefore, you have a raya from this Gemara, Regla de Talmudai, that even Gentiles would constitute Pirsuma Nisad, because that's what tells us how late you could have the candles, how late you could have the burning, how late you could light candles in the marketplace, or when there are people in the marketplace, what kind of people, even Talmudian people. So you don't need Jewish people to achieve Pirsuma Nisa. This is one question that we're going to deal with. What I just said is not going to be pushed at all, at all. What I just said might not even be halacha lemaisa, but we're going to get to that at the end of this year. I just wanted you to realize that this question jumps up at us when we take our initial reading of this Gemara. But now let's get a little bit more into what we just read. We just read that there is a zman mishatishka achama achatechol rega ben hashuk. So the Gemara says, what in the world is that line telling us? My love, is it not? Dikav sahada madlikla. Presumably, by telling you a beginning time and an end time, what Chazal are teaching you with that sandwich of times, right? You have rye bread on one side, rye bread on the other side, and pastrami in the middle. So if it's telling you this is the rye bread you have over here, or this is the rye bread you have over there, it must tell you that if the candles go out sometime between Shkia and Tichu Rega Ben Hashuk, why are Chazal teaching us this line, that Mishatishka Chama Achatechel Rega? It must be the Kavsa Madlikla, that if the fire goes out, you have to relight it. Isn't that what it's telling us? And therefore, it's going to be a very important point in the Gemara that was discussing if you indeed need to rekindle the lights that are extinguished or not. Says the Gemara, no, that's not what Chazal are teaching us. What Chazal are teaching us, the beginning point and the end point, that has nothing to do with if the fire goes out, should you relight it or not. Rather, what is the parameter, what is the message of these words, that the Zman of Chanukah Kels is Mishkia until Tichel Regel? Di lo adlik, madlik. Let's focus on these four words. If you haven't yet lit, go ahead and light. If you haven't lit until Tichel Regel Ben Hashuk, go ahead and light. Let's finish the sentence now. But if you did not light by Tichel Regel Ben Hashuk, then what should you do? You shouldn't light. The Eloah, like if you haven't yet lit and it's still in its time duration until Tichel Regel Ben Hashuk, go ahead and light. But once you hit Tichel Regel Ben Hashuk, there is no point in lighting candles. And therefore, if we stop here and we just have these four words, the Gemara's conclusion is telling us that if you got Tichel Regel Ben Hashuk, you can light your candles. If you miss Tichel Regel Ben Hashuk, there is no second chances. There's no backup plan. There's no safety valve. You missed it, and try again tomorrow. We'll see you then. There's nothing doing tonight. But the Gemara doesn't end there. The Gemara has an inami. So we just did, these words that you see highlighted on the screen, dilo adlik madlik, I will be calling the Lishna Kama. The first suggestion of the Gemara is telling you that the time frame of Shkia until Tichel Regel Ben Hashuk is telling you when you should light. And if you didn't light by then, you lost it. If you didn't light with it by Tichel Regel Ben Hashuk, go ahead. You want to light, let's say tonight Shkia is 4:28. And Tichel Regel Ben Hashuk is, I'm just going to pick a number, is 5 o'clock. So if you didn't light at 4:30, 4:40, 4:50, 4:55, 4:57, 4:58, go ahead and light. After, by 5:01, you can't light anything. That's the Lishna Kama. Chazal come and say, no, maybe this line of Chazal, that the Zman of Hadlak is from Shkia until Tichel Regel Ben Hashuk, has nothing to do with when you should light, but rather, inami lishiura, meaning how much oil you need to have in the canister, how much wax you have to have in your candle. Nothing to do with when you should light. When do you want to light? I don't know, light any time at night, any time on the, you know, on Hanukkah. Light any time that it's nighttime. I mean, there's no point in having a candle during the daytime, right? Shraga b'tira mayahani. As long as it's nighttime, you could light Shkia, you could light at Seis, you could light at 11 o'clock at night, you could light it at 3 o'clock in the morning. But whenever you do light, so how much candles, how much oil should you put in there? Lishiura, enough oil that would theoretically last a person from Shkia till Tichel Regel Ben Hashuk. Let's assume half an hour. So if I ask you, Rabbi Osai, we have a Gemara with a Lishna Kama and a Lishna Basra. And the first Lishna tells you that there's a certain time to light on Hanukkah. And if you miss that time, you lost out. The second Lishna, which I have highlighted, that just says Inami Lishiura, is telling us that the only reason why we need to know the concept of Shkia and of Tichre Regem HaShuk is not telling me when to light, but telling me how much oil I need. According to this second Lashon, I could light any time I want. Can I ask you a question right now? According to this Lishna Basa, the second Lashon of Lishiura, is there a requirement of Prisuma Nisa in the candle lighting? When do you have to light? According to the second Lashon, there is no time you have to light. There's no chazal that tells us when to light candles. The whole discussion of Mishkiya Atichle Regel Hashuk is not telling you when to light. It's just telling you the shiur, right? The shiura. How long, how much oil do you need? How much wax do you need? According to this Lishna Bas of Inami Lishiura, it sounds to me that, you know, there's no din of Pirsumani. So you can light whenever you want. You can light at 3 a.m. You know why? Because you like watching the, you know, Monday night football, and Monday night football is not over until, you know, if you're watching the West Coast games, Monday night football is not over till 1 a.m. I'm making this up. I don't really know. It's Monday night football is not over till 1 a.m. At 1 a.m. You didn't want to have a hefsek during your Monday night football. So you're going to first sit down to dinner at 1 a.m. You finish at 2 a.m. Then you want to read the paper till 3 a.m. At 3 a.m. That's when you like lighting your Hanukkah candles. There's nobody on the street. Nobody on the street. You could still light candles, no problem. Why? Because there's no din of Pirsuma Nisa. Oh, what about Tichle Regem in Hashuk? Tichle Regem in Hashuk just tells you how much oil to have. Make sure you have a half hour of oil. But if you look at the first opinion, the Lishna Kama, tells you that this parameter, this time frame of Shkia till Tichle Regem in Hashuk is telling you exactly when you have to light. It almost sounds, if I could be so audacious as to suggest, that the two lishonos that we have in this Gemara are actually two lishonos of whether or not you need Prisuma Nisa. The first lesson is tell you what you have. There's a chazal care when you light. They want light when there are people out. If you don't light when there are people out, don't light. You know why you shouldn't light? Because there's no Prisuma Nisa. Right? That's what it's saying. Light when there are people. If there are no people, don't light. The second opinion is saying that all we care about is the Tichle Regem in Hashuk is just a complicated way to say a half an hour. I don't care when you light whenever you want. Just make sure you have a half hour of oil there. Why do they pick a half an hour? Why do they pick a way to articulate the half hour of Shkia Ad Shetichle Regem in Hashuk? Why don't they just say Chatzi Sha'ah or something like that? That I don't have an answer to. But it sounds like all we care about is that there's this quantity of oil. We don't really care when you light. Light whenever you want. Maybe you don't even need Prisuma Nisa. So if I had my way, I might even suggest that these two Lishonos that I have underlined here are actually arguing whether Ner Chanukah needs Prisuma Nisa. So let's right away jump to a question that we're going to talk about later in the shir. Let's say you come home, you have a wedding. I have a wedding tonight. I have a wedding tonight. You come home and everybody's sleeping. And my block is a quiet block. After 11 o'clock at night, no one's on the street. I come home at 1:30 in the morning. My kids are sleeping. My wife is sleeping. My block is quiet. Could I light? Meaning, I mean, do whatever you want, but could I make a bracha? So I would think that according to the Ilo Madlik, Lo Adlik Madlik, you can only light during Tichle Regem in Hashuk. So it's after Tichle Regem in Hashuk. I can't make a bracha. On the other hand, if you hold from the second Lashon of the Shiura, I could go ahead and make a bracha because the only significance or meaning of the specific time of people walking on the street is only to give you, to let you know, the way to inform you of how much oil you need in your candles. And I'll have a half hour of oil in my candles. I could light at 1:30 with a bracha. That's what might come out. Okay, we're going to see. Life is going to get a lot more exciting before that point, but that's the opening of today's Shiur. 1 second. What just happened? 1 second. Let me just. Hold on 1 second.
Maybe hit F8.
No, let me just see if you could hear me, right?
yes, yes.
Okay, let me just see if my camera unplugged. Hold on.
We hear you clearly.
Second. Ah, here I am. You know, some people have a hard time finding themselves. But Hashem was a quick one.
You call that an identity crisis, Rabbi?
It certainly was an identity crisis. Baruch Hashem was quickly resolved. Okay, let's continue. Okay, now let's learn Tosis on that Gemara. Tosis says, what did the Gemara mean when it said, "Deilo adlik madlik," that Chazal are telling us this brisa or whatever it is teaching us that this man of hadlak is from Shkia to Tichlag Manashuk is Deilo adlik madlik, says Tosis, avamikan v'elech, after that point of Tichlag Manashuk, avar hazman, right? Right? Is there a point in staying Kriya Shema if you woke up at, you know, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? You missed Kriya Shema that day, right? So forget it. If you missed the Zman of Pirsum and Yisa, you missed the Zman of Tichrag and Ashok, there's no point. According to this Lashon, this first Lashon of the Gemara, there's no point in lighting candles. Omer Hari Parat, Tosa says. Diyeshli Zoher Ulhadlik Balamiyad, Shaloye Acher Yosem Yidai. You should try. This Riparat has the Gemara in front of him. He knows the two Lashonos. He's going to come and say, you know what? When night falls, try to light right away. Don't delay. But if you delayed, Yadlik why? Misafik. Dahameshani Shinuya Achrine. The Riparat says, do you remember our Gemara had two Lashonos? The first Lashon says that we have a time frame for when to light. Until Tichreg Manashuk. So after a certain time, you missed out. So I'm not, no point in lighting after Tichreg Manashuk. But on the other hand, says the Riparat, there's this other Shita. There's a second opinion of the Gemara. We call the Lishna Basra of Inami Lishiura. And that opinion holds that the time frame of Tichreg Manashuk has nothing to do with when you should light. It's just telling me the amount of oil. And therefore, if I have two Lishonas in front of me, what should I do? It's a Suffolk in the Gemara, right? Two Lishonas means it's a Suffolk in the Gemara. So I should ideally try to hit and accomplish both, and therefore I should try to light for Tichreg Manashuk, but if I didn't, I could always rely on the second opinion. It's a suffix. Should I make a bracha if I light after Tichreg Manashuk? Halacha l'maisa? If you're relying on one Lashon of the Gemara, where the other Lashon of the Gemara says you lost the mitzvah already, does he say? He doesn't tell me whether I should make a bracha or not. He just says, try to light early to accomplish the first Lashon who says that you need to light by a certain time. If you missed it and you're too late, then light anyway, because at least the second Lashon allows it. Yeah, but do you make a bracha on that? Or do we apply the rule of Safik Brachas Lahakel? It's a two Lashonos in a Gemara, whether or not you could light candles after the Zman and Safik Brachas Lahakel. Anyway, Rabbosai, everything we've spoken about in the past 15 minutes is all a moot point. You know why? Because of the next line of Tosfos. Nowadays, ein lachosh masayadlik. It doesn't matter when you light, when I light, when we light bisman hazay. You know why? The anu ein lanu hakera el lebnei habayis. We don't light on the streets anymore. After the sha'as sakana, whatever the sakana was, in the time of the Zoroastrians, probably, and they wouldn't allow us to light in our outside our houses at this day on certain days of Hanukkah. We all light inside. And therefore, since the hadlaka is indoors, there's no point in what? In Pirsum Anisa? Is that what they're saying? We don't light outside, and since we don't light outside, there's no point in the time frame of lighting outside. Why is there a Zman for Hadlakas Neros? There's a Zman for Hadlakas Neros because we want to capture the moments when people are walking around the streets. But if we're not capturing any moment, then there's no din in a certain time frame for Hadlakas Neros Hanukkah. It's just Balayla. Because by day, lights are meaningless. So it has to be at night. And at night, There's no time that's better than any other time if you're, once you exclude the street from the equation, once you exclude people walking down the street, from the equation, we're lighting for the people inside. So therefore, you could light whenever you want inside your house.
Kasha Lubavitch.
What's Lubavitch's opinion? Oh, that they light their menorahs outside. Okay, there are other kashas on that, but not for now. But there is a shita that says that they could do what they do, and therefore we won't. We'll leave them. We'll let them do what they want to do because they're.
That was Thursday night's discussion.
Right, Thursday night we talked about last week. Thursday night, a week ago. Okay, I want to analyze this line of Tosis, Rav Osai. Tosis is saying that nowadays that we don't light outside, we light inside. So our hadlak is only for the Bnei HaBayis, and therefore. It doesn't matter when you light. Can I ask you a question? According to this line of Tosus, that the halakha is for the Bnei HaBayis, is that saying that really we need a Pirsuma Nisa, but I don't need the Pirsuma Nisa of the people outside my house, suffice it for to be the Pirsuma Nisa to the people inside my house, and therefore so long as the people inside my house are awake, I'm fine. Wait a second. Why are you saying that? Maybe. That only makes sense according to the first lashon that says that the timing and the time frame of that there's a time frame for candle lighting. But if you hold inami l'shiura, that the point of techer egon shok when you lit outside was just to tell you a quantity of oil, but there's no din that you have to light at any time, even outside. Well, inside, now that we light inside, let me ask you a question. Let's say my whole family is sleeping. I don't have techer. Well, maybe I don't care if the whole family is sleeping. Is the reed telling me, oh, don't worry, you don't have Pirsuma Nisa outside, but we have Pirsuma Nisa inside? No, maybe you don't need Pirsuma Nisa inside. Maybe you don't need Pirsuma Nisa inside because the whole point of this line of techer egon hashuk is to tell you how much oil you have, and you don't need Bnei HaBayis. According to this rientosis that I have highlighted on the screen, he says, we don't care when you light because you always have the people inside the house. Does that mean the people inside the house have to be awake? Are the people inside the house just a replacement for the people outside the house? Because we're scared to light outside, so we'll do it for the people inside. But the people inside have to be awake? Okay, well, we'll figure out some answers as we continue further. I want to show you a Rambam. A Rambam that on one hand seems very clear and self-evident, but when you think about it, it seems a little schwer. Let's look at this Rambam. Look at this Rambam. Rambam is as clear as day. Ein madlikim neros Chanukah kodem shetishka hachama. You don't light before shkia. Ela im shkiasa. You light with shkia. Lo ma'acharin v'lo makdimin. You don't do it later than shkia. You don't do it before shkia. What happens if you delayed? Shachach ohezid. What happens if you didn't light by shkia? Don't worry, you have a few more minutes in which you could light. He sounds like he's just reading the Gemara smooth as a hot knife through butter. That's why when I told you shkia is at 4:28, I said, let's say tichle regel is at 5. I didn't say 4:58. Because the relash on the Ram is, oh yes, sir. It's kimo chatzi shah. It's not a chatzi shah. It's around a half an hour or a little more. Okay. So that's the ideal time to light. So far, so good. Look at what the Rambam says in the next five words that I underlined. Avar zman zeh. If you went till 5 p.m. today and hadn't lit by 5 p.m., eino madlik. Can I ask you a question? Is that what Tosu said? Let's look at Tosus. Tosus says, "Yesh li zar lahadlik b'layla miyad." You should light right away when you can. What does he say though? Mikomokom im icher. If you delayed, you should still light. Why should you light? Because of the second lashon of the Gemara. Remember, the second lashon of the Gemara. The first lashon of the Gemara says, "If you didn't light by here this time, don't light," which is exactly what the Rambam says. But hey, Mr. Rambam, Rabbi Maimonides. Why are you telling me not to light after 5 p.m., after Techo Agrashok? What about Inami L'Shiura? Why does the Rambam ignore the second lashon of the Gemara that says that the point of Tichrei Gemara Shok has nothing to do with until when you could light? It's just tell me how much oil you need. In which case, after Tichrei Gemara Shok, like Tosa says, you should light. You missed the first lashon, but at least according to the second lashon, you have every reason to light. With the bracha, without a bracha, I don't know. Maybe you just say suffik bras lahako. You should definitely go ahead and light. Why in the world? And I'm asking a question on the Rambam, Rabosai. Why in the world is the Rambam saying avar zman ze eino madlik? What do you mean? According to the second lashon, you could go ahead and light totally. It seems that the Rambam paskins, as you see what I wrote, entirely like the Lishna Kama, that everything is that there's only one significance of Tichrei Gemara Shok. That if you haven't lit, you could light, but after Tichrei Gemara Shok, you can't light anymore. Why not? Why don't you light in case the second lashon is correct? It sounds like the Rambam is passed like the Lishna Kama. Is that how halacha works? Like whenever you have two answers of Gemara, the Rambam passes like the first one? I'm not an expert in this. I don't know. I'm sure they ask this question. I don't know what they answer. I'm sure this question is discussed. Why is the Rambam telling you after Tichrei Gemara Shok, it's over, nothing, no points, try again tomorrow? What do you mean? Tosas told me if you miss the first man of Tichrei Gemara Shok, the second answer of the Gemara, Lishiur allows you to keep on lighting the rest of the night. Because according to the second answer of the Gemara, there's no specific time that you need to light. So why did the Rambam say, Over Zman Zevelo Eino Madlik? I don't know. Do you think we pass
also,
like this?
According to the Rambam, how do you light an Erev Shabbos?
You have to say, according to the Rambam, that even the Rambam agrees that the Erev Shabbos Chazal must have made a different type of takana. This takana was adjusted for Erev Shabbos because there's no other option. So it must be that when Chazal made their takana, they said, light by Et Shkia, and on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to light before Shkia. It could be the Rambam allows plag. I don't remember, because plag, I think, is a Gemara. So it could be the Rambam allows you to light earlier for plag if necessary. But but either way, you have to say that Erev Shabbos is going to be different. Okay, let's see how we pass. Let's jump to the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Now remember, right now, if I stop before we see the Shulchan Aruch, what do I have? I have, if I missed the candle lighting time, Tosa says, go ahead and light, because there's two lashonos of the Gemara. You lost one because you didn't light in time, but maybe the second one, who says there is no time, you'll fulfill. The Rambam says, once you missed it, it's over. Let's see how you pass it. Okay, so Ein Madlik in Chanukah Kol Neshetishka Achama. That's straight from the Gemara. That's, of course, the earliest time is Shkia. El Im Sof Shkiasa. You know what the word Sof Shkiasa means? Sof Shkiasa means Seisa Kochavim. So, you see already the Shulchan Aruch translates the word Shkia of the Gemara to mean what he understands Shkia is, which, of course, Shulchan Aruch passes like Rabbeinu Tam. You know, people say, oh, I wait 72 minutes after Shkia. I'm a Rabbeinu Tam guy. I'm Hasidish. No, you just follow the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch follows Rabbeinu Tam, like the meaning of the Hasidim. Continues the Shulchan Aruch to say, lo ma'achrim v'lo makdimim, don't do it later or earlier. Those words are straight out of the Rambam. Just make sure you have enough oil there. You see, it's put enough oil there until Regem and Hashuk. What is he saying? He's saying that Lishna Basra. He's telling you that the oil should be, how much oil should be there? You should have enough oil Ad Shetech Regem and Hashuk. Have that much oil. Fine. Just to make the point that I was telling you about this mantra, the beginning of Hadlaka, I know we have some Hasidim on the call, we have some Grub people on this call. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? The Gemara Shulchan Aruch said the word Aim Soshkiyasa. Hainu says the Mishnah Berurah. Hainu, Tseisa Kochavim. The word Soshkiya means Tseisa Kochavim. Why is that the time? You know, the people don't go home from work at 4:25, people go home from work at 5 o'clock. Fine. The Mechaber presents the Mashamar HaGemara, the Zman HaLok is Nechanukah, whom is Shiteshka Achanma, says the Shulchan Aruch understands that to mean the word Shkia means the end of Shkia, which is, again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Tseis HaKochavim. Shkia is like a process, And the end of the Shkia, when it's actually dark, when the sun has already set a long time ago, and is now dark, because that's what we call Sof Shkia, otherwise known in French as Seis HaKochavim. Aval be'emes, and this is of course what you're all thinking, the Mishnah Berurah points out, Aval be'emes, harbe rishonim sisril hu dekavanas hagmar hu al tchila shkia shnia, which is not what you're thinking. It's a different part of shkia. I told you the three opinions what shkia means. It means sunset, it means seis, or it means the beginning of the second shkia, which again, not our sikh, which is 13 and a half minutes before before seis. So either way, there are different opinions. We're not going to go into that now. Let's take a quick pause to see what time would be the ideal time to light the candles l'chatchila. What would the shkia be? I just presented you three opinions. We had the simple reading of the Gemara says shkia. The Raman says that means shkia is shkia. Yeah, sunset. The Shulchan Aruch said no, it means sof shkia, which is Rabbi Natan. And the Mishnah Berurah said there's another opinion that says the beginning of what's called the second shkia. Again, we're not getting into that. I apologize. It's not a shkia for Anzmanim right now, which will be 13 and a half minutes before Seis HaKochavim. So says Rav Moshe, when is the best time that you should light? Of which of those three options? Zman hadlokas ner chanukah sheyoser adif. Again, if you know your minhag, do what your father did. But a lot of people don't know their minhag, or don't know because their father lit when they came home from work. That, you know, now we live in a generation where no one really goes to work, especially post-COVID. No one goes to work. No one knows what it means to, you know, come home at 7, 8, 9 o'clock and light when they come home anymore. Everyone's, you know, somehow magically, you know, home all day. Anyway, our parents all got home at, you know, halavai 6 or 7 or 8 or 9, whatever time they got home, and then they lit when they came home. So a lot of us don't know what our minhag really is as far as exactly when we're supposed to light. So says Rav Moshe, what is the best time to light? Hulanias daiti asara minutin, otherwise known in French as minutes, 10 minutes achat chila shkia. I think Rav Moshe says the ideal time to light is 10 minutes after shkia. If shkia today is at 4:28, Rav Moshe says the ideal lighting time is 4:38. And I have a bunch of reasons, but he doesn't, I don't know, I don't have the simon in front of me right now. When I couldn't paste this, does he explain himself? We'll see in a minute why, where these numbers could come from. But Rav Moshe says, since there are, of course, opinions who say that you should start lighting at seis, so if you're going to light 10 minutes after shkia, you want your candles to last all the way till seis and then a half hour after seis. So therefore, don't use a blue candle and a red and a yellow and a white candle that's going to burn out in half an hour after you light it, because you're not going to, l'chatchil at least, yitein shemen shia kedei lahadik shah berach. You want the oil to last a full hour. So that your lighting now, which is, let's say, 10 minutes after Shkia, will last till Tseis, which is a half an hour, and then another half hour after Tseis, like all the other opinions who hold that you light at Tseis. So try to have an hour's worth of oil. Again, you're Yotzei if you didn't. But ideally, this is what a person should try to do, which unfortunately means that if you're going to light at 10 minutes after Shkia, like Rav Moshe is suggesting, you probably shouldn't be using the candles. You should use something that will last longer than the candles. If you're lighting at Seis anyway, so you just need a half hour. There's nothing to talk about, so that would be fine. If you're lighting when you come up from work at 7, 8, 9 o'clock, so it's already the nighttime, so light a half an hour. We're talking about somebody who wants to light at the earliest time, which Rav Moshe says is the ideal time, but you also want to kill two birds with one stone and fulfill the lighting. The hadlaka should also be into the zman of those who hold seis half an hour after tseis. You want candles to last after half an hour after tseis. So therefore, you need candles that will last, oil that will last for a full hour. Now, Nissen Karelitz also shows you something very cute. Rav Aaron Cutler also had a cheshbon like this, which I didn't see in Saab. I know he held something similar to what we're about to say. Look at what he quotes from the Chazon Ish. Moran haChazanish nahag lahadik neros Chanukah 18 dakos la'achar shkia sacha. The Chazanish said, you know when the best time to light Chanukah candles is? Chai. Not because 18 is his lucky number, not because he's a Sephardi and whatever, he always gives $18 and everything in multiples of 18. No. The Chazanish said 18 for the following 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 or 5 reasons. Look at this. The calculation with 18 minutes, why the Chazon Ish likes 18 minutes after Shkia. There's one opinion who holds that 18 minutes after Shkia, you're already in, after 18 minutes, it's already Tseis, according to one opinion. There is one opinion that says that's already Tseis. So you got that opinion of Tseis.
You are and listening to Ben's Torah.
There's another opinion. There's one opinion that says that that's 18 minutes after Shkia is Shkia for a different opinion. Not going into that. And it's within a half hour of the first Shkia, what you and I call sunset. Betochatzi Shah Lashchala Shkia Rishona, or Shkia Rishona is what you and I call sunset. So he has three reasons why that you're fulfilled, three opinions that you're fulfilling. Even if you hold it has to be really Shkia, really to Mishatishka Cham, really means you're supposed to light at Tseis or later. And here you're riding 18 minutes after Shkia. That's like 15 minutes before Tseis. You know what? If you look, you're allowed to light 15 minutes before this man. According, I'm not familiar with that. I didn't look up that Be'er Halacha. So even if you hold, you have to light at Tseis. 18 minutes is about half an hour, quarter hour before Tseis. So you could fulfill the mitzvah, the opinion of Tseis. And even if you hold, like the Gra B'Sharmil, even if you normally you're a Gra rabbi, you're a Gra person, you always follow the Gra. The Gra went straight like the Rama that we learned together, who that says you should light exactly at 4:28. He says, here, I think it's better not to go straight like the Gra. And light a little bit later, about 18 minutes after Shkia, because here you could fulfill so many other shitas that if you would just go straight with the Gra, straight with the Rambam, who says you have to light at Shkia, you wouldn't be getting those other later opinions. So here, I think, even if you go like the Gra, if you're a Gra person, you always follow the Gra, I think here, Mikom Kom Hacha, Esher Latzeis Yidei Shitas. Here you could fulfill other opinions. The next line, which I have highlighted here, I don't know why, I don't know what. Maran HaChazon Ish Hayu Mechaber HaNeros Achar Tchatzi Shar. Why in the world did the Chazon Ish put out the candles after half an hour? Like, I don't know anyone who does that. Like, plenty of people do that when you're leaving the house. You're going to a Hanukkah party, you're going out for dinner, you're going to visit your kids. So before you leave, you put out the candles. I don't understand. But if you're going to be home anyway, why would you put out the candles? Don't really understand why the Chazon Ish did that. Maybe it was distracting his learning. I don't know. It doesn't sound... don't understand that. Either way, what I just showed you is why the Chazon Ish suggested to light 18 minutes after Shkia, because there are all the different opinions of when the ideal time to light is. So he felt that the most ideal time, Rav Aaron Kotler has something similar, Moshe Feinstein said 10 minutes, he has a similar cheshbon. They were just trying to maximize the number of shitas that we fulfill, because some of these shitas are mutually exclusive, and that's the challenge. According to the Rambam, who we learned together just a few minutes ago, the Rambam says that you only fulfill the mitzvah from sunset within the next half hour. So if you're going to light at Tseis, if you're Hasidish and you light at Tseis, you're starting off not having fulfilled Hadlakas Neros according to the Rambam and the Gra, which is, you know, a scary thing to do. I mean, if that's your minhag, then that's your minhag. But that's why these Gedolei HaPoskim, the Rav Moshe, Rav Aaron Kotler, and the Chazon Ish tried to find some middle ground where you could have your cake and eat it too. Light within that first half hour that the Rambam demands you to light, and still try to cater to the opinions that require that say that you should light a little bit later, like the Shulchan Aruch, for example, who says you light at Tzeis HaKochavim. So to try to, you know, balance the two, they come up, the post will come up with something between 10 and 25 minutes after Shkia as ideal times. Each posik has his own. Chazon Ish was 18, Rav Moshe was 10, Rav Aaron Kotler was like 20 or something like that. Fine. Now let's finish off. That was the first half of the shiur. Let's finish off with another discussion that we started that now we're going to get more into. How late can you light? What happens if everybody is sleeping? So we started the sugya earlier as if it depends on which lashon of the Gemara you're going to hold like. If you hold, again, going back to where we started, the Gemara says, what's the whole point of Shkia ad shetech l'rag min hashuk? Well, the Lishna Kama says, I need to be taught that line, this concept of shetech l'rag min hashuk, to tell you that that's when you could still light candles. After Tichel Rag Min HaShuk, excuse me, you can't light candles. That was what the Rambam said. Rambam took this line and took it to the bank. If you didn't light by Tichel Rag Min HaShuk, don't even light your candles tonight. Baruch Atah Adonai, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Shehakol Nehiyah B'Dvaro. If that's the case, if you're lighting after Shkia, so no point in lighting. Except Tosa says that nowadays we light for ourselves in our house, so I don't really care who's walking outside. Fine. But according to the second lesson of the Gemara, Inam Leshiura, you could light candles whenever you want. There's no Gemara that tells you when you have to stop lighting. Tichar Gemara Shuk is just telling you how much oil to have, Leshiura. They should have a half hour worth of oil, but it's not telling you when to light. So now, let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Shachach Ohezid, says the Shulchan Aruch, and Tafrei Shayin Beis, if Beis, Shachach Ohezid, for whatever reason you didn't light, either you forgot or you intentionally delayed your lighting. But lo hidlikiv Shkia Sachama, whatever time you hold Shkia Sachama is, either sunset or Tzeis HaKochavim. Paskin, says Shulchan Aruch, Madlik V'holeich Adshu Tichla Rega Manashuk. Again, that's certainly ideal, because that's the first lashon of the Gemara to do that. That would be a beautiful time to light. Here, we're going to see the Rama is going to cite the Tosus that we learned together. Nowadays, you don't have to be worried about Tichla Regem Hashuk. The reason why you, those of you who work, you don't run home necessarily to be home by 4:30 or 4:45. And you come home whenever you finish work at 6:30, 7 or 8 o'clock. It's because of this Tosus and this Rama that nowadays are Ikra Hadlakas with B'nai Abayis. And therefore, you could light even after the Tichla Regem Hashuk because you're lighting for the family, not for the Pirsum Anisa of the street. Mikol Makom, Tosus, the Rama says, Toli Zor Gam Bizman Hazeh, even nowadays, when we are really indeed lighting for our families and not for the street, you should still try to come home Bizman if you can. Okay. What happens if you take a lay, if you take a miss, Tichla Regem Hashuk entirely, continues the Shulchan Aruch, Umiyu Hani Milu Chatchila that you should do by Tichla Regem Hashuk, Aval Over Zeh Hazman, Velo Hidlik? Let's pause. What did the Rambam say? If you miss this window of Tichla Regem Hashuk, what did the Rambam say? The Rambam said, let's scroll up to the Rambam. The Rambam said, Over Zman Zeh Eino Madlik. You lost. And what did we jump on him? We jumped in to say, why? I understand you lost it according to the Lashon that says that you have to light by Tichla Regem Hashuk. But according to the Lashon that says that the point of Tichla Regem Hashuk is only to tell you how much oil to have, Inami L'Shura, there is no time by which you have to light candles. So go ahead and light. And that's exactly how the Shulchan Aruch is going to paskin. Avalim Avar says the Shulchan Aruch, Avar Zeh Hazman, sorry, Avar Zeh Hazman V'lo Hidlik, Madlik v'holich, kol lila, light all night long. 11 p.m., midnight, 2 a.m., 4 a.m. Vim avra kol halayla v'lo hidlik. If you know Nate's comes, you start go, you go to Nate's, and then you say, yeah, I forgot to light candles last night. Okay, in latach tuma, you don't have to light an extra candle the next night. It's not like you missed the mayor, you missed the tefillah. Fine. Now we're gonna get to the meat of the sugya. You ready? What does it mean that you should light all night? We said, Rama, the Shulchan Aruch said, Madlik v'holech kol lila. If you missed Tichla Regem Hashuk, whatever Tichla Regem Hashuk is, whatever you hold that is, you can still light all night. Says the Magen Avraham, but Beis Yosef Kosev, to have a Sveika Dedina. It's a suffix if you could light all night, right? Because it depends on the two languages of the Gemara, two Lashons of the Gemara. If you hold that there's a cutoff of Tichla Regem Hashuk, after that you can't light. If you hold that the Tichla Regem Hashuk is just telling you how much oil you need, we don't have a set time by which you have to light the candles. Light whenever you want. So it ends up being that there's a suffix to Dina. If you light later at night, 11, 12 at night, after Tichla Regem Hashuk, 2 in the morning, there's a suffix in the Gemara, and therefore you should write without a bracha. That's what the Beis Yosef is mashma. Aval, but the Shulchan Aruch didn't make this distinction. The Shulchan Aruch just said, if you didn't light by Tichla Regem Hashuk, light. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Look at these words. Ideally, you should light by Tichla Regem Hashuk. And if you didn't, go ahead and light all night. He doesn't say, but without a bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch's stam lashon is mashma that You could even go ahead and say a bracha after Techorek Mashuk. Why? Isn't it a suffix? I don't know. This is what he says. Now this, I have no clue what it means, but the Magen Avraham continues and says, "My shal kasav, davka ad chatzos." You can make a bracha till chatzos, but after chatzos, ein levarech. My friends, could anybody help me with this mashal? If you tell me you can make a bracha after lighting, after techilat Mashuk, I can understand that because maybe you hold like the Lishna Basra, you hold for some other reason that you could light candles. If you hold you can't make a bracha after techilat Mashuk, because one of the opinions in the Gemara was that it's only till techilat Mashuk, so you can't make a bracha after that, I understand. But where in the world does chatzos come into play? That you can make a bracha on your candle. Let's say Techilat Mashuk is by 9 p.m. in our neighborhood, either 5 p.m. Or maybe if you look at our cities, it's you take it figuratively, you know, relatively to our cities at 9 p.m., 10 p.m. By 11 o'clock, my street is empty. Your streets are empty, the quiet streets. Okay, I'm not talking about those of you who live on Central. But if you live on a quiet street, by 11 o'clock, the streets are silent. So why at chatzos, why until chatzos you can make a bracha, after chatzos you can't make a bracha? Where in the world is this mashal coming from? We learned the sugya. We saw the Gemara. We saw the Rashi, the Satosis. Nothing to do with chatzos. I don't know where this comes from. I don't know. I really don't. Any suggestions why the mashal would say that you can make a bracha till chatzos, but not after chatzos? Yeah, if somebody has an idea, please let me know.
Maybe okay. Suggested there's no possibility anybody would ever go there after chatzos.
Nah. Either people are walking or they're not walking. If people are walking, then they're walking whenever they walk. If they're not walking, then they're not. You know, there's no cutoff. You can't give me an objective cutoff. There's a din of chatzos. There's a time, there's a man of chatzos. It's a function of people walking. So tell me if people are walking or if people are not walking. If you want to say people are walking, so it's not techilat Mashuk. Go ahead and make a bracha. But to me, obviously,
you can't have a marav after chatzos either.
You're allowed to daven Mariv, but maybe you should.
Paul doesn't hold. Maybe Kriya Shema Shel Arvis.
So what is Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? It's a beautiful mitzvah. I love Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Everybody should do Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. It's a great, beautiful thing. What is in the world does it have to do with lighting Hanukkah candles?
Well, you pasha maybe it won't be negligent.
I mean, and therefore you can't make a bracha. Okay, fine. Those are all ideas. Let's continue. And this is going to be what we're really going to be focusing on for the next few minutes, and that is, you come home late, everyone's sleeping, do you have to wake them up? V'hagos ma'amini kosav. Kol zman shebeis shebnei habayis me'urim afila ad amud hashachar. As long as people in the house are awake, you can go ahead and light with the bracha until alos hashachar. What is he saying? As long as people in the house are awake. V'chein nir alila horos, says the Magen Avraham. That's what I think is correct. As long as people are awake, you could light. Avalam yishenim, once people are sleeping, ein levarech aleihem, you cannot recite a bracha. Surabosai, you come home from a wedding at 2 in the morning because they had a mitzvah tanz, and it was the mezinka and everything else, and you come home at 2 o'clock in the morning and everyone's fast asleep, and you have to light. You'll light, no problem, but sorry, no bracha. Everybody's sleeping. There's no one outside, and the people inside are all sleeping. Even Bizman has said that it's the B'nai Beso, but B'nai Beso have to be awake, right? If you're lighting, Tosis told us that nowadays we rely for the B'nai Abayis. But the B'nai Abayis are all sleeping. You can't make a bracha.
Does B'nai Beso mean even one, like your wife? Or
I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to see if one is enough. Your wife is not enough. Okay. Now, I want to just take a tiny tangent for the Prima Gadam has a fascinating line on this point that we're going to appreciate because we learned the Sugya. The Prima Gadam says, very matter-of-factly, sex fekahava. Why don't you make a bracha? It's a safek. Maybe it's, why don't you make a bracha? Says the Prima Gadam, sex fekahava. Look what he says. Shema halacha kateris basra. Maybe the halacha is like the second answer to the Gemara. Remember the Gemara said that you have to light achtuchle gavashok. Why? One of two reasons. Either because that's when the time you have to light, or inamili shiura. But if you hold like the second lash of the Gemara, that inamili shiura, tichle gavashok is not telling you when to light, it's just telling you how much oil to put in. So there's no halacha of when to light. So maybe the halacha is like that second opinion. that you can light whenever you want. There's no din of when to light. There's no din of persumanis almost. Like there's no, you can light whenever you want. Whenever in the world you want to light, go ahead. Just a matter of how many you're having oil there. Veshema rak lemitzvah. Maybe the din of, maybe even if in the first case, even according to the first lashon, when it said, let's go, dilo adlik madlik, that's only the mitzvah, that's only the chatchila, that ideally you should light by tichel ha'gav ha'shuk. But maybe it doesn't really mean that if you happen to come home late, you can't light after that. So therefore there's a sfek sfek. Okay, what do you do if there's a sfek sfek on a bracha? I would say, anyway, you don't make a bracha. Isn't that, so he says, I explained somewhere else, if you make a bracha, if there's a sfek sfek. Safek bracha is lahaka. What if there's a sfek sfek on a bracha? There's two chances that maybe a bracha should work. Will you make a bracha there? He says, look, ayin sham. Fine. This Magen Avram, which I would suggest is telling us a chumra that makes a lot of sense, that if everybody's sleeping, it's a suffix of two lashonas of Arab Gemara, whether or not you could be yotze after Tichurei Gemara Shuk, or if there's a din called lighting after Tichurei Gemara Shuk, it's two lashonas of a Gemara, and there's a suffix, so don't make a bracha. Guess what? Mishabur passes like that, Magen Avram. Mishabur says, kol halayla, you could light kol halayla, adam al shachar ubebracha, that's if, hainu dafkin b'nei habayis in b'nei habayis ne'urim, if the b'nei habayis are awake, avalam yishenim, if the people in your family are sleeping, ein levarich aleihem, eli yadlik v'lo bracha. Why? So far it makes a lot of sense. After everyone's sleeping, you shouldn't light because it's like tichur ha'gav ha'shuk. And maybe that's the time frame. If according to that lashon of the Gemara, the first lashon of the Gemara, you have to light by tichur ha'gav ha'shuk. And if you didn't, you lost out. So don't make a bracha if no one's around. Look at what he says. Just like in the olden days when they lit outside the house, they only lit while people were awake. So too for us who light for our b'nei habayis. So that means the pirsumanisa has shifted. There used to be pirsumanisa outdoors. Now the pirsumanisa is indoors for our family. Well, if the people outside are no longer walking down the block, you can't make a bracha. So now that we light indoors for our family, the people in your house have to be walking, maybe not down the block, but through the kitchen, through the dining room, through the living room. If the people in your own house are sleeping, so you don't have a persimmonious, even for the B'nai Abayas. Fine. And therefore, what should you do if you come home and everyone's sleeping? You should wake them up. Shitas HaMishnah Brura, that following the Magen Avram, that you cannot make a bracha in your house if it's late at night and everyone's sleeping, and therefore you should wake up your family members so you have some other people there, let's say at least two other people, so that there's a little bit of Pirsum and Nisa, and then you'll be able to make a bracha. If there's no one awake, you cannot make a bracha. That is what the Mishnah Brura holds.
Can it be a young child also, or does it have to be an adult?
I think it does not. I don't think it has to be a bar mitzvah. It probably has to be at least a child who's a gil chinuch, though. Not because you're being mechanechim in candlelighting, but it's only meaningful intellectually. There's a pirsumanisa as a cognitive component of awareness and understanding. So a four-year-old would be meaningless. You wake him up, all he sees is that you're lighting candles. He doesn't, you know, there's no cognitive awareness of pirsumanisa, I would think. But I'm making that up.
Can you wake up? If you don't want to wake up your wife, can you wake up the neighbor?
It depends what block you're on. On your block, you have to wake up your wife. On other blocks, you can wake up your neighbor. But I hear what you're saying. So next time, I have a wedding tonight. So if you get a knock on the door, Yossi, tonight at around 2 in the morning, you know it's me. So don't be worried. Okay?
No, I won't be worried.
Don't call the police.
But the truth is, today we have got EMTs that are, you know, outside all night. There's people roaming the streets.
You live in Brooklyn. I live in Lawrence. After 11 o'clock, there's no one on the block. It's quiet.
No,
Brooklyn is not. Brooklyn never sleeps. New York is a city that never sleeps. What?
No shamrim in Lawrence.
Mirhaba nitken shamrim. Okay. Now, after the Mishnah Brura just passing like this Magen Avram and told us that we do not make a bracha after everyone's sleeping and you have to wake people up, comes the Mishnah Brura in his Shahar HaTzin on the bottom of the page, and he says, you know what? I know I've been a little bit harsh, and I had to make you wake up your family. You should just know that there is somebody else in the on the block. There's a sefer called Chaim and Moshe, tells us the Chafetz Chaim. And this is what he says. He says that even if you can't wake up your family, because if you wake up your wife, she will beat you so bad, you won't be able to light tomorrow night's candles. Mikol makom, you can still light with a bracha by yourself. Why? Listen to his calculation. Let me ask you a question, Abosai. Let's say you live in on a scientific outpost in at the North Pole. I shouldn't say the North Pole because they have all days and all nights. So forget the North Pole. You live on some scientific outpost on some small island where you're doing research on I don't know, you're doing research on octopuses or something like that. And the interactions of octopuses with I don't know, penguins or something else on this remote island, it's just you and nobody else. It's Hanukkah. You wish you were home. You wish you had latkes. You wish you had people, but you're here doing your scientific duties on this remote outpost, and it's exactly Shkia Sachama, and it's the beginning of Shkia, end of Shkia, whatever it is. It's Hanukkah evening, and you light your candles. Are you allowed to make a bracha if there's no one around? Let me back up a step. The Magen Avraham who says that if you come at 3 in the morning and everybody's sleeping, you have to wake them up, otherwise you cannot make a bracha. Would he say that also if you were lighting candles exactly bisman at the right time? Would he also say that you have to have other people around? Suggest the Chaim and Moshe that even the Magen Avraham, who says that if you light after Tichlek Mashuk at 3 in the morning, you have to wake somebody up, and if there's nobody awake, you cannot make a bracha. He's only saying that because it's the wrong time to light candles. But even the Magen Avraham, who needs witnesses, who needs observers, he would agree that if you light Bisman, you don't need anyone else to see it. You, the lone Jew on this remote island who's lighting Bisman, should, even the Magen Avraham would agree, you should be able to light candles with a bracha. We never heard anything otherwise. Did you ever hear any posik in the world say that the halacha called halakas neros, Bisman, is only if you live in certain neighborhoods or if you live among people? But if you're a hermit, you don't light candles. I learned the Shulchan Aruch many times. I never saw that line that says if you're a hermit living in a forest, you don't light Hanukkah candles. I understand that if you light late, there's a sheet of the Magen Avraham that says you shouldn't light candles. But if you light Bisman, no one ever said you can't light candles. Let's see what he says, and I want to hear what you're saying, Yossi. To the fee Magen, divrei Magen Avraham, im yeh adab makom, if a person is going to be she'en ish af me anshei habayis sham, no one's there. Yadlik below bracha. Is that what the Magen Avraham is going to say? The Magen Avraham who says that at night, 3 a.m, you light without a bracha. Is he going to say that if you live among, you know, no, among nobody, you shouldn't make a bracha? We've never seen such a thing. Ve'adirabah, he says the Chaim and Moshe. I will show you Shulti Giborim, who quotes the Riaz, the Afim who bein hanachrim levado, even if you're among the Gentiles, you live in a city where there are only Gentiles. You're on a business trip somewhere, and there are only Gentiles there. You still make a bracha. He says you should light, and presumably means with a bracha. Clearly, they're assuming that Gentiles do not constitute presumanisa. Elavad, it must be, im yecholim lahadlik b'firsum, if you could be mefarsing the nays b'fnei rabim, that's better. If you could be mefarsing the nays in front of many people, that's of course better. But if there's no one else there, you shouldn't lose out the mitzvah just because there are no other people there. And therefore, the Chaim and Moshe says, just like if nobody else would be there, you could make a bracha, so too at 3 a.m, if there's no one else there besides you, you should be able to make a bracha. Not like the Magen Avraham. So what do we have? We have a Magen Avraham who says that at 3 a.m, if it's just you, you can't make a bracha. Wake up your family. And the Chaim and Moshe, quoted on the bottom in the Shabur in the Shaar HaTzion, who says that even if you're alone, you can make a bracha. So what do I have? I have a machlokas. What should I do? Should I make a bracha if there's a machlokas? It's a machlokas whether I can make a bracha. The Magen Avraham says you can't make a bracha. The Chaim and Moshe says you can make a bracha. So now I have a machlokas. Magen Avraham and the Chaim and Moshe, could I make a bracha? So it's still machlokas. I can make a bracha. So I'm left with what? I'm left with where I started. Something bracha is locked. I can't make a bracha. That's how the Mishnah Berurah comes out. But he gives you, you know, he gives you a finger. If you wanted to go like this, Chaim and Moshe allows you to make a bracha. You don't have to. You don't have to shrei chayv a kaim if somebody's going to do that. But the Mishnah Berurah says you probably shouldn't make a bracha.
This is only talking about after the zman, right?
Yes. Yes. Now, Rabbi Yossi, what did you want to say before?
Can you do it online for suing Mitzvah?
Could you do it like on on camera or something?
Yeah.
Meaning I'm sleeping. Meaning my wife is sleeping. My kids are sleeping, but my son is
Las Vegas. I call somebody in Eretz Yisrael the next morning already.
Or in Las Vegas because it's 3 hours earlier, right? Would the Magen Avraham say that you have to actually see this live, or would he be enough to watch it on video? I don't know.
Can I record? Better question.
No. Record is not live. No. It has to definitely be.
What's the difference whether it's live or whether it's on camera?
Nah, because you're presuming you have to be doing presumanisa in live time. What is it called? Live time? Real time.
But camera's not camera. You're not seeing the actual lighting anyway.
I know, but you're seeing in real time that a Jew somewhere else is lighting it. You don't.
So I should play a recording of a Jew who's lighting. And that creates presumenisa.
Right? I don't see you, but I know you're talking
so,
right now.
So let's say instead of playing tonight's recording, I played last night's recording while I'm lighting.
No, that's no.
There should be no difference.
Absolutely not. That won't work.
I'm trying to bring a point in that you're not actually seeing the actual lighting, therefore
I'm saying you don't have to see the actual lighting. In the same way that in Alexandria, the base class at Alexandria, if I could borrow an example, they waved the towel, waved the flag when it was time to say Amen. Why? If you're aware that the thing is happening right now, so you could.
So you don't have to see the actual Neros. I can send a text. I am now lighting Neros.
You have to see that happen. You have to at least see it happen. I don't know if a picture would work either. A video is different than a picture. A picture captured a moment and you sent that there was a moment that it was lit. When you see a picture, you see as it's happening.
Right now I am lighting. I'm sending a text. Right now I am lighting.
I don't know.
I am currently lighting. Or I have it on the phone that you can hear me say the brachos.
Brachos aren't the brachos shmachos. You need candles.
Right, but you know that I'm lighting right now. Because I'm saying
you're a fat liar. Maybe you're just making brachas. I don't know if you're lighting. What? You need to see the
kind of. You don't have to see it.
I don't know.
By Havdala, you don't have to see it. He Ramesh holds that you yaitza.
With what? The bracha of Eish?
On Eish. I mean, he said, actually, I shouldn't say that.
I'm not sure.
You have to be, maybe just Kiddush. Eish, I guess you could do whatever.
I'm not sure. But your question stands. I don't think it would, a text message or a picture, I don't think it would suffice. Yossi's question about live streaming your hadlaka, would that work to not have to wake up your family according to Magen Avraham? That's a very good question, and I would love to raise that al shulchan melachim, to raise that shaila among the poskim. I don't know the answer, Yossi. It's a great question. Let's finish off with one last point, Rabbi Osai. Ramosha cares about sleep. That's what you're about to see. Ramosha, and this is what we'll finish with, Rav Moshe comes to discuss our very question. If everybody, you come home at 3 a.m. and everybody is sleeping, do you have to wake them up? The Magen Avraham says, yeah, you got to wake them up. That we saw the Chaim and Moshe, and the Mishnah Berurah passed like that. And we saw in the Sha'at Sin on the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah, says there is this opinion of the Chaim and Moshe who has a svara who says that if you're lighting Bizman, you don't need anyone there. So it shows that it's okay. Yeah, but we're talking about what it's not Bizman, when it's 3 a.m. Do you have to wake somebody up? Let's see what Rav Moshe says. Ramosha has a great raya. You know what his raya is from? Where else do we have Prisumanisa? Says Ramosha Feinstein, I know another place for this Prisumanisa. Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim is Prisumanisa. Does it say anywhere that you can't fulfill Kriyas HaMegillah alone by reading the Megillah yourself? You have a kosher Megillah, and you lean beautifully, and you know all the trap, and you lean all the words correctly, and you're sitting in a business trip somewhere in some godforsaken city in Norway, because that's where you had to go on business, on Purim. You're not Yotzi the Megillah if there aren't other people there to hear the nace, to be Mepharsim the nace to. We never saw such a thing. Look what Ramosha says. Hine lanias daiti mistabri b'pshita savias. The gamnir chanka in her pirsim nisa, of course you want to do pirsim hanace. The point is to be Mepharsim the nace. But if you don't have pirsum hanes to other people, it doesn't mean you didn't do hadlaka. In pirsum hanes ikuv, it's not going to hold back etzem chiyuv hadlaka sneiros lomar to say, dibolek in your pirsum hanisa, if you're in a place where there's no pirsum hanisa, you didn't yotze, The Mishnah look going underline. The Mishnah Mimigillah. The Tzarech Likro. You have to read the Megillah. Afkshu Yachar Bebeiso. Even if you're going to be one person alone in your house, you fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah, and you have to do the mitzvah of Megillah. So why should it be any different with Hanukkah candles? The Pirsuman, whatever Pirsuman Nisa occurs, right? It's even the same bracha. That we make by Kriyas HaMegillah, and we make by Neres Hanukkah, because they're both Pirsuman Nisa mitzvahs, fine. No one says you don't have to do it when you're by yourself. I'll add, Rav Moshe doesn't mention this, but I think Soloveitchik points out that the Dalet Kosos are also Pirsuman Nisa. That's why the Gemara in Pesachim says you have to sell your shirt for Dalet Kosos also. We have to make sure the Gabbai Tzedak, I'm sorry, has to make sure every Jew has Dalet Kosos also, because it's Pirsuman Nisa. Does anyone ever hear that if you don't have people watching you drink the four cups of wine, you didn't do the Pirsuman Nisa, the Dalet Kosos? Lo shamanu kazeh. Dalet Kosos you do by yourself, Mikra Megillah you do by yourself. Says Rav Moshe, why shouldn't you do candlelight by yourself? Im kain, gam b'chanukah, mistabesh shu kain, b'etzem ha-mitzah af liyachid, where you can't do pirsum. What is the pirsum anisa, though? Pirsum anisa is when you do it in a way that you could be mefarsimit, do it in a way you could be mefarsimit. The mitzvah isn't that you have to have pirsum anisa. The mitzvah is that you have to light candles. When you light the candles, do it in a way that you are maximizing the pirsum. That's what it's telling you. But even if you're by yourself, even if you come at 3 in the morning and everyone's sleeping, of course you have a mitzvah, and go ahead and light without anyone there. There is, you fulfill the mitzvah. But I will point out to you, he acknowledges the point that we made before, that pirsum of Gentiles is not constitute pirsum anis. And yet we know, as also we saw this in the Chemin Moshe earlier, that if you're among Gentiles and you're lighting at least bisman, you do light candles in that random city in Norway if you're lighting bisman. And no one says otherwise. So you see that even though there's no pirsum anis to outside, because Gentiles don't constitute pirsum anis, yet you do light bisman. So what's the difference between bisman or not bisman? The point is you're lighting. And therefore, Rav Moshe concludes. Therefore, Moshe concludes, Yochel hadlik afkishu yechidi b'makom mamish v'afkishu m'mnez k'var yotzev yeshenu k'shubal beso gam b'bracha. You could say you could light candles by yourself, and you could light candles if everybody's sleeping, and if it's 3 in the morning, and if there are no Jews around. And he concludes, as I underlined, there's not even a suffix bracha in this matter. L'anios daiti m'chuyv levarech. Why? Did the Mishnah Berurah say, but it's still a suffix bracha, because the Magen Avraham says that you can't make a bracha if everyone's sleeping? Because, says Rav Moshe, anias daiti m'chuyv levarech, the shitas ha-Magen Avraham tamua. I don't understand. That Magen Avraham who says that you have to have people awake is a mystery to me, says Rav Moshe. I don't understand it. Why in the world do you have to have people around? In the same way, when no one's around, bisman, you should light candles with the bracha, and everyone should agree to that. And they do that from the Rishonim already. So now that it's 3 in the morning, why is it any different? If you're by yourself, you could light by yourself. And therefore, Rabbo said, what do we have? We have a gigantic machlokas, a raging machlokas between the Mishnah Berurah and Rav Moshe Feinstein, whether or not when people are sleeping, you could light at night. The Mishnah Berurah is machmir. I don't know how you want to say it. It's really his makel. He says, the bracha, sub bracha, it's the hakel. You're not allowed to make a bracha. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, of course you can, and you should, and you must make a bracha. Halach l'maisa, Rabosai. I certainly can't decide. The Mishnah Berurah says one thing, Rav Moshe says the other thing. Depends on your family, I guess. Idea. If your wife will is the type that would appreciate being woken up for a bracha, then wake her up. If your wife is a person who would be angry at you for waking her up for a bracha, then maybe go like Rav Moshe and make the bracha without her there. So Rabosai, we should be zocha to be mefarsim the neis. We should be zocha to be inspired by the lights of the menorah. We should be zocha that the lights of the menorah should kindle our own hearts and kindle the hearts of Achenu Bnei Yisrael to bring Mashiach Meher V'Amenu. Amen.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.